I'm thinking today about our scripture reading that we've been doing. This morning I preached on Ezekiel, and that dealt with a scripture reading that we have read recently. And tonight I'm going to be preaching from a New Testament book scripture reading that we've been reading. And in that book, it shows the importance of a relay race. When I say a relay race, I'm thinking of Jesus, who's the author and finisher of our faith. He authored our faith by dying on the cross and fulfilling all the prophecies of the Old Testament and all the types. And he provided our faith for us, you know, and then he finished the Bible for us, the New Testament, because he gave the New Testament teaching and the Gospels, and then he gave to the apostles from heaven through the Spirit the rest of the New Testament. And so he's the author and finisher of our faith. But Jesus teaches us to run a marathon race. You know, the Bible says that we're supposed to run a race, and the importance of a marathon is you have to hand off the baton to the next guy. And I got my letter in my freshman year at public high school in Grand Rapids, Michigan, Godwin Heights. And I got it because we broke the record for the relay race. But it was not a marathon. It was a 440. Each one of us had to run 110 yards. I ran first, handed it to the next guy, to the anchor guy, Tim Leatherman. He took it and ran in. And we broke the record. Now, this race that we're running for the Lord is not a 110-yard sprint. It's a marathon. It's longer than a mile. It's many miles, depending on how long you live. And what God is saying here, Paul is writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy. That's where we just read, and that's where we're going tonight. And Paul is saying, basically, Timothy, you know, Paul wrote his early books in the Bible as though he would be here when Christ comes back. And he wanted to be here when Christ came back. But then, at this point, Paul is writing his swan song. He now knows he's going to die. And he knows it's going to be very short, and he's going to get his head cut off. He could have been thrown to the beast, but he said, "The Lord delivered me from the lion." Because he was a Roman citizen, he was able to get off and have his head cut off. But he definitely had to die, but he got it by that. And so Paul is now ready to die, but he knows that he has certain preachers that he's trained, and he's passing the baton, and he's saying, "I'm handing it off to you." And one of them was Timothy. So in this last letter to Timothy, he's writing to get him ready to take the baton. Now, he was already the head pastor at Ephesus Church and an apostolic legate there and all of that. But I want to give you, amongst many other things, Paul gives some last words of counsel to Timothy. And I want to give it to you tonight. And here's what the counsel was. If you go to 2 Timothy chapter 4, 14 and 15, here's what he says. "Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works, of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our works." Now, I'm hoping this counsel will help anybody here that's going to be a preacher. I know Brother Jose Valley studying in our college for the ministry, and he's downstairs right now preaching to the kids on his birthday. But this will help a preacher like our youth pastor or Brother Matthew, anybody that wants to study to the ministry, have some of these guys go into our college. And the council will also help you that aspire to be Sunday school teachers, you that may be bus captains, bus workers, soul winners, you want to win souls to Christ. It will help you, and I want to preach on a subject tonight, and it's kind of a strange title. Can I share it with you? It's called "Steer Clear of Skunks." steer clear of skunks. And I want to say three things about that tonight, taking Paul's counsel to Timothy. If you are going to be a worker for the Lord and you want to serve the Lord, you need to realize you need to steer clear of skunks. And the first thing I want to say about that is because you need to understand evildoers. Who are the skunks? Evildoers. You need to understand the warning for you about evildoers in 2 Timothy 14a and verse 15. Here's what he says. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil, for he hath greatly withstood our works. And I want to focus on just those words. Alexander did me much evil, for he hath greatly withstood our works. And so tonight, the Lord Jesus, who went about doing good, who did miracles, his whole life was caught up doing good. The Bible said he was greatly attacked by evil. And so he told his disciples, and he tells you through his disciples, be wise as serpents, harmless as doves. And the part tonight I want to emphasize is you're going to be needing to be as wise as serpents. You need to know in being wise and understand that there is a difference between sinners and evildoers. Now, many of you have heard me talk about this. How many have heard me teach on the difference? Many of you have. Some of you haven't. So it's good that I say it tonight, both to repeat it and to give it to you if you didn't ever hear it before. You heard it and went in this ear and went out the other ear. And there is a difference between sinners and evildoers. I put it like this. All evil is definitely sin, but not all sin and sinners are evil. All evil is sin, but not all sin and sinners are evil. Sin simply means to miss the mark of doing God's will for your life. You fail to do God's will. You fail to hit the bullseye. I was sighting in my 35-millimeter rifle and missed the mark a few times, and then I got it on the mark and boom, hit that target up at Slobodnik's there. And shooting at 100 yards. And so I'm just saying, an alcoholic, somebody that abuses alcohol, how do you abuse it? Use it. But somebody that abuses alcohol is a sinner and needs to be rescued from that. Somebody that falls into sexual sin is a sinner and needs to be rescued from that lifestyle which will destroy them. But now, evil is beyond just being a sinner. Evil means a conspiracy to harm people for wicked motives. Might be monetary gain, might be power, might be influence, but whatever the motive is, it's selfish. And evil means a conspiracy to harm people for a wicked motives. An alcoholic is a sinner, but to bottle and sell alcohol is evil and will bring down God's judgment. Someone who fails in the area of sexual sin, that's a sinner, and the Lord dealt with many people who had failed that way and lifted them up. We need to have the same mentality. But a sex trafficker or a pimp is evil and an evil doer. And evildoers will use temptation to sin to harm people and exploit them for some kind of benefit of the evildoer. We've heard a lot about Jeffrey Epstein. He would be a good example of an evildoer. An evildoer can't get people that he wants to exploit to sin. Then he will lie if he can't. In other words, an evildoer likes to get people into sin so he can use their sin against them. By the way, Satan does that. He gets you to sin, but he wants to go farther than that. He wants to now use that sin to harm other people. But if he can't get a person to sin, remember Daniel, the three presidents that, the ones that wanted to bring Daniel down, they couldn't get him to sin, so they got a law passed against praying. And then they slandered him to the king and got him in trouble and got him thrown to the lions. And that's what an evildoer will do. So Paul wrote to Timothy that Alexander the coppersmith, notice this, didn't sin. He did much evil to the apostle Paul. And he conspired with others to harm him and to wreck him. And he was warning Timothy about that, just like I'm seeking to warn you tonight from this scripture, that you, listen, need to understand the difference between somebody that's a sinner that you should rescue and somebody that's set into evil. And you need to understand the difference. Now, I want to say something else about that, and that is that you need to understand that evil attacks those that are doing good. Evil attacks those that are doing good. In other words, in an independent fundamental Baptist church where people love the Lord, love His word, love His work, love people, and are set to do good, evil's going to go after you. And the more good you do, the more evil attacks. So the Bible says in Romans chapter 7, it says, when I would do good, evil is present with me. And that's taught throughout the scripture. Now, who is the source of all evil?
The devil.
The devil. And the devil is evil. You know, even people in the world are recognizing, wow, there is such a thing as evil in this world. And the closer we get to the end, the more evil is going to come out. I personally believe that the beast very well may be a person. Well, he is a person that lived before, and he's coming back to life. And that will be evil. I mean, right out in the open, Satan is going to be worshipped in the open as the evil spirit that is emanating the beast. And he will emanate the Jewish Antichrist, who will be a Jew, but God's chosen people, but he will be the devil, the devil's man. And he will get the Jews and the world to worship this beast, who I believe is Hitler. I believe we're getting ready for Hitler. That's why I've been talking about this anti-Semitism. I'm trying to warn you, it's coming. It's coming to a world near you. And you better be ready for it. And so evil is coming out. The Bible says evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. When Satan sees a young lady that has her virginity, he wants to take it. I've often said, I'm jealous of you as somebody that has espoused you to one husband. That's Jesus Christ. And our young ladies, would to God that they would not be seduced to give up their virginity, because evil wants to do that. There's evil in this world that wants to take those things. And evil wants to take that from young men as well. It shouldn't be just young ladies. It should be young men that want to keep their virginity. But let me tell you, all the evil in the world is against that, because Satan hates Christians. Satan hates purity. Satan hates marriage. Satan is the source of all evil. And there's a huge conspiracy to take purity from you. And the only way you can win that war, parent or people, is the grace of Almighty God. So Satan is the source. He's not worried about you too much if you just want to be good. If you just want to be a good person, Satan is not worried about you. Why do you think, one of the men tell me, why isn't he worried about you if you just want to be good? What threat is that to him? It's not much of a threat, because it just involves you. You're good. But if you are doing good, then you are a force to be reckoned with. Then you're going to help other people and influence other people. and he cannot abide that. He must attack your good. Doing good, not just being good. And although I encourage you to be good, but also to do good. Evil is not worried about you. Now, let me give you an illustration of that. Charlie Kirk. Here, Charlie Kirk was not just being good because he's a born-again Christian, but he set about to do good. Not just political good, but he set about to defend Christianity. He was an apologist for Christianity and for the Christian worldview. He went on to college campuses. Where are college campuses? They are Devil State University. They are part of the brainwashing of Satan so that this generation, it's already happening, this generation coming up, becoming more and more anti-Semite. Anti-Semite. I said anti-Semite, that's evil. Evil. Like Hitler. Evil man, Hitler. Wicked man. Evil man. There were about 80 million Jews before Hitler came on the scene. He killed about 6 million. People try to lie about that and say less. I've looked it up, researched it. 6 million. But do you know there are only, I don't know, 15 million Jews now? There were 80 million before Hitler started World War II. Think about that. One of the wickedest, evilest people that ever lived. And I believe he's coming back. He's coming back as a clone. That's my belief. But I'm just saying, evil is something that Satan himself is behind, and he's even going to have his son come back, the beast, and do evil. He's going to come as a friend of Israel. He's going to come as a friend to help the world to have peace and all of the rest. And then his mask will be taken off 3.5 years after he's in power. And everybody will recognize who he is. He's got face recognition. He's got name recognition. But he won't be revealed until 3.5 years into his rule over what he tried to take over the first time, the European sector, the European Union now. And watch for it. Watch for it. It's coming. But I'm talking about Charlie Kirk. He went onto the college campuses. He confronted the worldview of transsexuals. He, in fact, that was the very thing he was answering when he got shot by a guy who is under arrest for his assassination and whose quote-unquote lover was a man trying to change to a woman. I got news for you. If you're a man, you're a man, you're a man. You can't change to a woman. It's medical disaster. I've looked into that. It ain't working. But anyway, that was the guy that shot him while he was asking the question about that. You say, why did Charlie Kirk get killed? Evil. He was doing such good, and evil came at him. And that's what happens. You say, Pastor, I want to be good. Well, that's what happened. Then you get Erica Kirk, who stands up and says, oh, I forgive that man. And now you got Erica Kirk, and evil is talked about her all the time. They're running her through the mud. And she's a godly woman that loves God. But they're accusing her of everything. I've seen that before. I've seen it from evil people that can't take people doing good. If they just be good, it's all right, but don't do good. Benjamin Netanyahu is lied about. Tucker Carlson, I call him Schmucker Carlson. He lies about Benjamin Netanyahu. Alex Jones, when he opens his trap on this, he lies about Benjamin Netanyahu. And a lot of people lie about him. For instance, they call him a genocide person. Committed genocide. That is the biggest lie ever come down the road. When the United States fought in Iraq, it was one combatant killed for every 7 people that were civilians. In in previous wars, it's like one combatant killed for every 1,000 civilians. In other words, in any war, civilians do get killed. Do you know what the ratio is in Israel with their raid in Gaza and their counterattack for the greatest Holocaust since the Holocaust, October 7, 2023? It's 1-to-1. 1-to-1. Yeah. That is a lie. Why? Because Benjamin Netanyahu is doing good. I'm not saying he's a saved man. I'm saying that he's a man that has a mission. You say, Pastor, what is his mission? He believes that Satan wants to get rid of Israel, and he is set to stop any existential threat to the nation of Israel. He will fight it. He will fight it. He will fight it. Do you know how often his adult son says, my dad, I love my dad. He's my hero. He's a great man. He said, but if I want to get a hold of him, it takes me about a week to get a hold of him. He said, 24 hours a day he is working to save Israel because he knows evil wants to destroy Israel. He's so busy. By the way, you know Israel has a deep state? You know Israel has a radical left that's wicked? They want to destroy Netanyahu. They want to put him in jail. You say, hey, who's that remind you of? Donald Trump. He's not a perfect man. He's not a saved man, I don't believe. But he's a man trying to do good to the United States, and he definitely is against the globalists. They want to kill him. They want to kill him. I'm just saying they want to slander him, arrest him, kill him. I'm just saying Satan is the source of all evil, and if you are bent to do good, Satan's going to come against you. We know the Apostle Paul was set for the defense and to confirm in people that get saved the gospel. And all hell came after him. And Alexander the coppersmith did him much evil. And he is trying to get Timothy to understand the evil we're talking about. Now, you say, how do we overcome evil? Well, the Bible says, you ever have the hand game? You play a hand. You put your hand down, then somebody else puts their hand down, then they put, then everybody. Well, the hand game is you do good and evil goes like that to get you. How do you defeat it? You do more good. Then what happens? More evil comes against you. How do you defeat it? You do more good. And it just keeps on going like that. You don't overcome evil with evil. If you start fighting evil with evil, you're going to lose. Jesus taught this. You overcome evil with good, and you keep doing it till you die. And then evil will attack you after you die if you're great. Say, what are you talking about? Charlie Kirk and his wife. Charlie's dead. Evil's still attacking him. Still attacking him. Still lying about him. I heard Megyn Kelly say something about he tried to encourage Tucker Carlson, and she's trying to give a clip of that he was doing that, and you listen to the clip, it's laughable. It's not right. He was not encouraging Tucker Carlson. I mean, he was trying to be nice to him, trying to win him, but Charlie Kirk stood for Israel to the end. And I'm just saying to you that evil will attack you even after you're dead. I've known preachers, they fought evil all their life, and now Satan attacks their very memory because he doesn't want anybody to benefit from dead preachers. I think of Jesus. He was doing good all his life. Is Jesus attacked after his death? Is he lied about? Oh, absolutely. How many have heard of Dan Brown's book? What was the name of Dan Brown's book? What's it called? Say it again. The Da Vinci Code. How many have heard of the Da Vinci Code? Do you know that book alleges Jesus was involved with Mary Magdalene? So is it any wonder that Satan would lie about Erica Kirk and J.D. Vance or any of this? Evil.
Right.
Evil people. Projecting. Projecting. I've seen it myself. They project evil. Evil. And what I'm saying to you tonight is that he's going to die. He's passing the baton. He's giving some counsel to another man of God. And he's saying, if you're going to do good in this world like I've done good, you've got to understand evildoers and the difference between them and mere sinners. And then secondly, steer clear of skunks. That's evildoers. Not only by understanding, but because you need to avoid evildoers like skunks. Look at 1 Timothy 4:15a. It says, of whom be thou ware also. In other words, be aware and be careful and avoid evildoers putting their poison on you like skunks would put their stink on you. How many have ever been hit by a skunk? Literally, physical. Okay. My wife is afraid, deathly afraid of mice. She doesn't even like me to talk about mice. If I catch a mouse in the house, I am not to say a word. Silently take it out, reset the trap, catch the next mouse. And I haven't seen a mouse for quite a while. I just want you to know we've got them pretty much eradicated over there. But anyway, I've killed a few mice. What, Bobby?
Is it what's up with Mickey Mouse?
Oh, Mickey Mouse. Yeah. She loves Mickey Mouse. That's a good point. That's weird. But I'm not preaching about my wife hating mice. And if she hates mice, guess what she thinks of rats? And what's worse than a rat? A rat with wings. That's a bat. And anyway, so I'm not preaching about that. My youngest son, Brian, he would be told, take out the trash. He would be freaked out. Why? Because we had skunks at that time around the house. In fact, we had a skunk came downstairs through a hole into my oldest son's bedroom. He shared it with a skunk. Since then, Brother Joe, we fixed that house up quite a bit. But anyway, he was afraid of skunks, deathly afraid of skunks. I wonder if he's afraid now. But anyway, he was afraid of skunks. And you know what? I can understand that. I'm kind of afraid of a skunk. I don't want to pick a fight with a skunk. I'll pick a fight with my rifle with a bear or, you know, something like that. But I don't want to pick a fight with a skunk, even with a rifle. I don't want to shoot them and have them stink me up. I don't want to pick a fight with a polecat. And so if you are wise, you'll understand and avoid, listen to me, that certain evildoers are like skunks. And if you confront them about their sin, they will try to destroy you. Now, as a preacher, I want to preach to reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. But if you try, and I'm trying to help people when I do that, just like a dentist might be trying to take out a bad tooth, I want to take out something bad from, just like a doctor or surgeon might take out cancer, I want to take out something bad from you to replace it with something good. So the preaching will do that. And somebody might say, he's preaching at me. Well, it may be that I'm preaching at a lot of people, like Paul did to Corinth. He was dealing with the whole church. He was dealing with a problem to take it out so they would be blessed. That's my motive. It's always a good motive when you're preaching, unless you get in the flesh. But people will accuse you of that. But what I'm saying is, a skunk, if you go after a skunk and you try to fix a thorn in the skunk's paw, you're going to regret that probably. And I'm thinking of a lady tonight. This was decades ago in our church, and I sent my wife to help her with some pointed counsel. And when we did that, I thought, she's going to be grateful. But she didn't be grateful. It started her influencing her family, who influenced others. And we had a Sunday called Beat the Devil Sunday. You remember that? Beat the Devil Sunday. And right after that Sunday, this wicked lady was used to attack that man. And I traced it all down and figured it all out where it came from. It came through that wicked lady. She was the source. I could give you her name, but I won't. I'll call her tonight Alexander the Coppersmith. Now, later on, I was asked, she wanted to get picked up and come to church. Never repented, no change evident. Just now, a different time, a different chapter, and I said, do not pick her up. I do not want to bring the devil to this church. You get an idea of what I'm talking about, of avoiding evil doers. They're like skunks, and it's not wise to do that. And if you confront them about needs in their life, to try to help them, even in the pulpit, they will attack you back. They will give you blowback, and they're getting into evil. Don't get into evil, because you could become an evildoer. I'm thinking of another lady that decades ago again, even more decades ago, this lady was a young lady. And she was out of state, and she was traveling, and I found out that she was hitchhiking, and she had sunk so low in her life that she was giving her body away to get rides, giving her body away to old, ugly men to get rides. And that's how we got her. An old, ugly guy came to our church. And he had this lady who was a very young lady. I'm going to say about 19, something like that. And we got her. I got her hooked up with soul winners in our church, lady soul winners. They led her to the Lord. She got saved or professed to be saved. Hope she was saved, but I don't know. And she started cleaning up her life, and we taught her the Word of God, counseled her, my wife and other ladies, and helped her. She got into the church and even stayed in our home for a time as we were helping her. And then from being in our home, helped her get married to a great guy in our church, a young single man who became our head deacon, a good guy. And she got married to this guy, and she had felt dead inside when she was giving her body away for things, and not selling it, just giving it away for things, I guess. And then our church soul winner helped her, and we helped her. Through the love of Christ, she got benefited greatly. Yet when she got some reputation and influence, she used it to attack us, to backbite, try to bring down my pastoral ministry and work. Eventually, she influenced her husband to go with a liberal group in the church who wanted to get away from godly truth and split away from the church. A guy that was a deacon got him to split away from the church with her. And having done that, unfortunately, she got back into sin, from evil into sin again, and into alcoholism. And then she and her husband were divorced. She wrecked her own self, many other lives, and took her husband with her. That's evil. And we had helped her out of sin, but then she got into evil by conspiring with others to harm God's good workers at SRBC, thinking she would gain power and prestige by doing evil. But she only brought harm to our church, to her own marriage, and pretty much ruined her husband. I'm just saying that evil is something you need to avoid. You need to be careful. Beware of evildoers And I'm thinking again of, we had a revival seekers prayer meeting in college. I was a young man, 19, 18. We had a revival seekers prayer meeting in college. This was many years ago, praying for revival in our school. And we were praying for God to bless Scranton and our school and America. And we were in the room fervently praying. And evildoers listened to our prayer meeting and spread a rumor that we were in there talking in tongues, that we were so wound up that we were talking in tongues, and that was not true. We prayed in English like we should pray, and not in claiming apostolic gifts, you know, and monkey language, you know, which are not apostolic gifts. Tongues are ability to speak a foreign language without learning it. That was part of the signs of the apostles. But anyway, they were accusing us of that. And then I was never more pure in my life, in my mind and heart, as a young man, a single man in college. They were accused us because we had girls that were getting involved with our movement, with this going down the street. They said, we are doing it for girls and we're doing immorality with girls. Lie. Lie. Evil. And so I'm just saying, I have had personal experience, and I can pass it on to you. Number one, you need to understand evil. And number two, you need to avoid skunks. Steer clear of skunks. Avoid them. And number three, and lastly, steer clear of skunks because you need to offload evildoers on the Lord. You need to offload evildoers to the Lord. Now here's what he said in verse 14 of chapter 4 of 2 Timothy. He said, the Lord reward him according to his work. Speaking of Alexander the coppersmith. The Lord reward him according to his works. Now since he said his works were evil, what kind of reward do you think he was talking about? Judgment. Judgment. He was saying the Lord judge him for his evil, which is saying the Lord reward him according to his works. Instead of seeking evildoers, I already said I counsel you to avoid them. I'm thinking of an evildoer on bus route, knocking on doors. And I try to help this person. I tried to help this person. My wife tried to help this person financially in every way for a long time. And she just kept sinning, broke up her marriage, did evil stuff, man. And I kept trying to help her. And then I realized I'm blocking her on my phone. She's evil. She's going to slander. She's going to lie. She's going to, I could smell it. I could see it. I could see evidence of it. And then I realized that everybody she touched that we were bringing to church, she lied and they would have nothing to do with our church. On bus ministry, I found this out. Therefore, when I go visiting, I make sure I don't even see her door. And I knock on door, and I have nothing to do with her. I don't text her. I don't talk to her. I don't counsel her. Don't try to help her. Don't get my wife to help her. Why? Evil. Evil. Why bring the devil in here? Why bring a fox into a hen house? Why bring a wolf into a flock of sheep? Oh, that's foolish. Evil and evildoers will wear sheep's clothing. Sometimes, many times, they will act like they're here for the Word of God. They will act like they're here to get the blessing. And they're doing evil, 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 evil to people around them. You've got to recognize that. Do you see it? Do you recognize it? And so, I'm just saying, you need to avoid evildoers like skunks, but you need to offload evildoers on the Lord. Not just avoid them, but in addition, it says you need to pray to the Lord to deal with them, to bring God's judgment upon them. What did Paul not say? He didn't say, Alexander the coppersmith, pray to God that God will bless him and witness to him and try to win him. No, he said, beware of him. Yep. He said, I want him. I want him to be rewarded according to his works. His works were evil. That meant judge him. I want the Lord to judge him. And so why should you not try to win that evildoer and do good to that evildoer? Well, because of the fact that you bring him in, and it's like a snake. That story of the frozen snake that the guy brought and warmed him up and carried him down the mountain, and he was freezing, and he said, "Oh, I'm a serpent. I'm so cold. Would you please warm me with your body?" And he brought that snake, and he put that snake up by him and warmed him, and that snake came alive as he warmed him and fed him and brought him back to life. And then that snake sank his fangs into him. He goes, "Why did you do that?" He said, "I'm a snake. Didn't you know?" That's what an evildoer will do. And so you need to kill it and let God deal with it. And how do you kill it? Well, you say, "The Lord take care." The Bible says, "Vengeance is mine. I'll repay," says the Lord. So you offload him to the Lord. Lord, you deal with them. By the way, I've preached many times, there's a deep state in America. There's a Bill Gates. There's an Anthony Fauci. There's a shadow government, a Barack Obama. There's these people are evil. Evildoers. They're in the Republican Party too, but they've totally taken over the Democrats. That's why I call the Democrats, what do I call them? The demon rats. Have I backed up from that? Do I repent of that? No. Does that make me evil? No. It's like Paul. Beware of that. Beware of that. And the Republican Party has many evildoers. If they go that way totally, they're already trying to go that way through anti-Semitism. Watch it. I'm watching it. You've heard me talk about it. You've heard me name names, Candace Owens, Tucker Carlson, Alex Jones. Watch him on that one. Can't open your mouth without saying something negative about Ben Netanyahu or Israel. It's getting ready for the Antichrist, friends. Getting ready for the beast. Antichrist is a Jew. Getting ready for the Antichrist and the beast. So, you need to avoid evildoers, and you need to offload them to the Lord that God would judge them. And that's why I'm praying for God to judge the deep state in America. Are you? The Lord reward them according to their works. If it's evil, that means judge them. Now let me give you one last example and I'll be done. Turn to Revelation. This is under offloading evildoers to the Lord. Go to Revelation 18:20. I'll conclude with this one verse. Revelation chapter 18, and if you will, verse number 20. Revelation 18:20. Now, I talked about the coming one world religion, which will be beast worship or Hitler worship. I talked about the one world religion, but there's also going to be a one world economy. It's going to be cashless. You won't need a Visa card. You won't need dollars. You'll simply have a mark, and it will be all computerized, and your money will be simply electronically transferred. If they don't like you, they'll just remove your money, arrest you, and kill you. And they'll do that because you don't go along with the one world religion to worship the beast. And so here we have the city that is the capital of the one world religion. What city is that? Can one of the men tell me? What is the capital, the economic capital of the one world religion? I'll go with Brother Joe, the economic capital of the one world religion. Let's get a deacon.
Babylon.
That's literal. It's not New York City. It's Babylon. It's not Rome. It's Babylon. That city, as we speak, is being prepared to be built. They're already working on the Persian Gulf to dredge it, to run a canal up there that will defeat the Suez Canal that's many miles to the west, and they're going to run it through Babylon, over to Turkey, into Europe. It will be the richest place in the world. There'll be slaves there. What kind of slaves? Sex slaves. There'll be money there. There'll be everything you could imagine there. The commercial people of the world will be rich from Babylon, and they will love it. The world will love it. And it will go along. The corporations that run that will take the mark of the beast. And they'll get rich. So rich. So rich, when it's destroyed by a nuclear bomb, they're going to cry and weep and throw dust up and weep and mourn because all these riches, oh, it's gone down. Rich people today do a lot of evil things. I'm talking about multi-billionaires made rich by evil. Well, anyway, what happens in heaven? Listen to me. What happens in heaven when God allows that city to be destroyed? Here's what the saints say. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. In other words, they're going to cheer in heaven that these evil people have been destroyed. I'm saying tonight, and I hope you get it, I hope you're not offended at what I'm trying to say to you tonight, because if you're offended, you're not going to benefit from what I'm saying. I'm saying, number one, steer clear of skunks, because you need to understand skunks, because you need to avoid skunks, and you need to offload skunks to the Lord for his vengeance. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's bow for prayer. I'm going to simply ask you a question.